Possible strike on Israel. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
A senior White House official says there are indications that Iran is preparing to imminently launch a ballistic missile attack against Israel. And the U.S. is actively supporting Israel's defense.
Correspondent Chris Livesay is in Tel Aviv.
According to the IDF spokesman, that's the spokesman for the Israeli military, just a moment ago, he said that our U.S. partners informed us that they detect Iran's estimates of firing missiles in the near future. At this point, we still do not detect an aerial threat launched from Iran towards Israel.
The U.S. Embassy in Israel has just directed all of its employees and their families in Israel and the Palestinian territories to shelter in place until further notice. All of this comes hours after Israeli ground troops entered southern Lebanon in search of what the IDF said were Hezbollah targets. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin today. He speaks in Wanakee this afternoon and Milwaukee tonight. Republicans have been urging Trump to spend some time in Wisconsin's bluest counties. Democrat Kamala Harris stumps in the Fox Valley on Thursday. The people who declare the winners on election night say they plan to be fast, accurate, and transparent. Anna Johnson is Washington Bureau Chief for the Associated Press. She says her organization is in the business of declaring winners, not projecting them.
The only way we declare races, so whether it's a presidential race or it's, you know, state legislative races, is when we are absolutely certain that there is no way that the trailing candidate can overtake the leading candidate.
Johnson speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Have you noticed an increase in your electric or gas bill? We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service customers have a chance to make their voices heard in rate cases that will set utility prices for the next 2 years. According to the Citizens Utility Board, We Energies seeks total increases of $605 million over the next 2 years, equaling a 19% increase for a typical customer. WPS is seeking increases of $220 million for a 20% increase. None of the public meetings are very close to Wisconsin Rapids, but you can submit a public comment online between now and October 7th by visiting psc.wi.gov. Hydrant flushing is taking place in the village of Port Edwards today and tomorrow. In the town of Rome, hydrant flushing started yesterday and will continue through October 4th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason. First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday. Coach Matt LaFleur said Sunday that the Packers had a lot to clean up after the 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in week four.
You got to be focused in terms of and very intentional about what you're trying to get accomplished. When you look at it, we've had two tight games that we've lost. And we got to make sure that we don't put ourselves in those positions where they do cost you.
Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Amanda Merkway, the advocacy director of the ACLU Wisconsin. We'll discuss the election fraud being engaged by MAGA Republicans and what you can do about
it. The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. It is the same number. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up on the show today. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio will be joining us at 10:33. I'm anxious to talk to him about the whole Wausau Dropbox let's go nuclear thing from Mayor Doug Dinney.
All the explanations.
Yes, all the many explanations on why he took it upon himself to remove this Dropbox. And now it's back. So we will kick that around with Pat Kreitlow coming up at 10:33. At 11:06. We're calling it Anything to Avoid Going to Therapy.
Men.
Yeah, some guy just bought a very expensive guitar, only to destroy it. There might be cheaper ways and more healthy ways to express emotions. So we'll talk about that at 11:06. Also, guys, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if you know this, but you're not supposed to use straws.
Say what now?
Men don't use straws, men. It's a rule. I didn't make the rule.
Not even fancy metal ones?
No. I think that's probably worse.
Sip.
That's coming up next hour. We want to start off, though, Civic Media. We will be bringing you coverage of tonight's vice presidential debate starting at 7:45. News director Terry Bell, Pat Kreitlow, doing double duty, triple duty. He's going to have a long day. And our political editor, Dan Schaefer, will be doing the coverage. So that starts tonight across the network at 7:45. And that is where we're going to start today. Is tonight's first and only vice presidential debate. It starts at 8 o'clock our time, 9 p.m. Eastern, expected to go about 90 minutes. It's held in New York City at the CBS Broadcast Center. You probably have already heard that CBS has essentially announced it is no longer in the news business because it's not going to be doing any fact-checking.
Yeah, so that's cool.
And they're calling Nora O'Donnell, who's the managing editor and anchor of CBS Evening News, and Margaret Brennan, the CBS News chief foreign affairs correspondent and host of Face the Nation. They're calling them moderators. Really? Are they really moderating any? They're like timekeepers.
They're questioning. I don't think they keep time themselves.
Well, they should at least have to do that.
Yeah.
Since they're not going to be doing any fact-checking. The debate will be audience-free. We'll have 2 4-minute breaks. Campaign staffers can't interact with the candidates during those breaks. Both Tim Walz and J.D. Vance will have a pen, a pad of paper, and a water bottle. No other props or prepared notes. We'll see how this goes tonight. The candidates will each have 2 minutes to answer a question, 1 minute each for a rebuttal. They may get another minute to discuss at the discretion of the moderators. Should we just assume that they're going to let J.D. Vance get another 7 minutes?
Well, actually, that's what I said to Pat. I think that they should automatically give Tim Walz 7 minutes.
An additional seven?
Yeah, because, but my wonderment is, will J.D. Vance be able to bully his way into getting on the mic the same way Donald Trump did? Because essentially, David Muir and the other person, they just gave up every time.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't say, stop talking, you're done,
we're moving on. Cut off
his mic. Well, they even worse, they turned the mic back on.
I know.
He was talking without a mic, and he just kept going like, all right, I guess just turn it on. Meanwhile, they squelched Kamala one time. She got it once, and they never let, and she had to go back and use her time on another question to address something else because double standard. This has been nothing but double standards. And I know I sound like a MAGA person right now, but it's been true. It's been nothing but double standards
from the media.
From the media, from the jump.
Yeah. Each candidate will get 2 minutes to deliver their closing statements. JD won the virtual coin toss, and he will deliver his statement second. How have they been preparing? Because, of course, they do debate prep,
mm-hmm.
and they have practice sessions.
Yeah.
So J.D. Vance has been working with Republican Representative Tom Emmer from Minnesota to stand in as Tim Walz because he's a fellow Minnesotan.
Mm-hmm.
Vance has also had debate practice and online with a senior advisor on the Trump campaign, Jason Miller.
Okay.
Another one of all the best people.
Oh, boy.
Which we don't have time to go into right now, but Jason Miller has his own little file from all the best people.
We'll get to him another day.
J.D. Vance expected to do portray Tim Walz as too liberal, focusing on things he did as governor of Minnesota. On the other side, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has been standing in for J.D. Vance during Tim Walz's debate prep. Walz has been getting ready with his longtime aides. Minnesota governor expected to take aim at Vance's stance on reproductive health and LGBTQ rights. Again, this is going to be the only VP debate. Kamala Harris has committed to another debate against Trump October 23rd. By the way, happy October, happy fall.
Oh, that's right.
But Donald Trump told his supporters that the second presidential debate, it's just too late. Voting has already started. It's just too late.
Which is also hokum right there, because he said before the first debate even happened that there were three debates.
Mm-hmm.
And the networks were like, come again? And Kamala's campaign was, come again? Because he just said they were happening. And now all of a sudden, a second debate is too taxing upon dear leader?
Well, I think it's because he was so embarrassed after the last debate that he totally won.
96-4, 11-35, 88-14. All the numbers threw out. He totally won that debate. There's no question whatsoever. I'm slipping into Trump. I'm going to start doing the hand gestures.
Andrew from Maine texting in and listening here on WAUK. CBS should begin each question with a disclaimer. No one here is required to tell the truth. Assume they are lying. And Tom from West Dallas says, I have yet to hear why they are not allowing fact-checking. I haven't seen any explanation as to why. I mean, we can speculate all day on, if you fact-check me, I'm not going
to
do it.
Well, there's that, but also, you know, I don't mean to be all like tinfoily hat here, but let's not forget that these networks are owned by corporations. Those corporations have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. And if Donald Trump gets all mad, he turns it on them and people start going and stock prices will fall. So it's in the best interest. And I hate saying this because he's a baby. He's a big, dumb 78-year-old baby who gets his way every time.
He gets two scoops of ice cream, Greg, and everyone else gets one.
He takes one of your scoops of ice cream and says, this was always mine. Wah, I want a third scoop. And then he gets a third scoop. So, yeah.
It sure seems like that sometimes, doesn't it?
I think it's just the media buckling. Like, they've been buckling to him for 10 years now. And it's I'm tired of it.
Will you watch tonight? Will you watch the vice presidential debate? And if so, what are you looking for? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It will be interesting to see, because I've seen different things saying that J.D. Vance loves to debate and he loves being confrontational. And I can see that. I can see where he would be pretty comfortable in that space.
He loves the debate in the Charlie Kirk
style,
Steven Crowder sense, where it's, I'm going to talk, you will attempt to talk, I will talk over you, saying dumb things like, what's a woman? Or what does fetus mean in Latin? He doesn't debate. He steamrolls. He bullies. He's a bully. He's a tiny Ohio bully. And Tim Walz has got to watch himself tonight, because Tim Walz gets stirred quick.
He can't lose his temper.
He cannot lose his temper. He's got to look cool, calm, and collected, because that is the kid. He's got a lot of excitement, a lot of happiness. But look for J.D. Vance to say stolen valor. Look for J.D. Vance to talk about Haitian migrants doing things that they are not doing right now, because it is not substantiated by fact. J.D. Vance will do exactly to Tim Walz, I believe, what Kamala Harris did to Donald Trump, was try to rattle him.
Oh, I think you're right.
So,
yeah, definitely. But again, Pete Buttigieg is pretty darn good. And Pete Buttigieg, if he's been his debate partner,
yeah.
And I think they certainly have to anticipate that this is coming.
Absolutely.
That kind of approach is going to be coming. And again, I think Mayor Pete's, he's pretty savvy.
Do you think he drew this short straw? Pete, you got to be JD. But why? Everyone likes me. They wanted me to be president.
Because he'll be a good foil.
Yeah.
He'll be a really good foil.
Once the cameras go on, those lights are on, people are watching. It might not be 23 million or 67. How many people?
Calvin can look that up.
Tens of millions of people watching the presidential debate. I'm sure it'll probably be half, maybe half more. That's still a lot of people. It's going to be easy. He's got to keep his cool. He's got to be cool. He's got to be the great Tim Walz we've been seeing this entire, because we haven't really seen him a lot either lately.
Except for, I mean, he's done a lot of campaign stuff.
He's done a lot of campaign stuff, but he isn't like as visible as he was, say, about a month and a half ago.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Jack, we got about 2 minutes left. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Well, first of all, Vance has already admitted that he'll lie to make a point. He said that.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm getting really disgusted with these so-called legitimate media and news networks that just allow these people to sit there and lie their faces off. There should be no one of the very first prerequisites before any kind of presidential or vice presidential debate should be that there is ongoing fact checking. And I don't care if the moderators do the fact check, or if there is a headline that I forget what they call it.
The crawl at the bottom. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That says this statement is absolutely not true. And I mean, this has got to stop.
I agree with you, Jack. Thank you so much, Jack. Appreciate you calling as always and for listening as well. We're going to do a little hurricane update when we return.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a favor to ask you as well.
Yes.
So stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
When the night has come. And the land.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matinier, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. He made a splash in national media. Last week.
Pat did?
Yeah, he was in Raw Story.
Oh, that's right!
He was in Raw Story.
That's right!
So we're going to talk to him about how he got national media attention and what's going on in Wausau with that Dropbox.
So really quick, I didn't look at his rider. Are we allowed to look at him in the eyes, or do we have to always refer to him as Sir Kreitlow?
I think only Calvin can look him in the eyes.
Well, that makes sense.
So we'll have to kind of just avert our eyes.
Should we just give our questions to Calvin?
Maybe. That sounds about right. Easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I don't know.
We'll just actually leave.
I don't know what other demands Pat might have now.
Yeah.
But we'll ask, and hopefully that'll all get cleared up.
Humble ourselves.
Yes, humble ourselves. No, Pat Kreitlow. Going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. I hope you can stick around for that. And, of course, we will be wrapping up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing today from the world of politics. And I'm pretty sure that we can all agree on today's This Should Not Be a Thing. Okay, we started off yesterday talking about Hurricane Helene.
Yes.
And all of the massive destruction across parts of eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina and into Georgia and into Florida. And I started seeing some things after we got off the air yesterday that really upset me.
Okay.
So some of the comments on various Twitter feeds trying to get people to either donate blood or donate to the Red Cross or whatever your charity of choice is. Some people say, well, you know, you live in a place that's too low. Why do you live there? You live in a Republican state. It's your fault. On the other side, it's you should have picked a place that's more conservatively Christian so God wouldn't have struck you and punished you. This makes me furious.
Yeah.
We're all Americans. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a green alien. We are all Americans in a crisis like this. And I don't care how you vote. I'm going to do what I can to help.
Yeah.
This is what we do as Americans.
Yeah.
At least in my estimation.
It's what we used to do.
It's what we used to do. We would come together as Americans to help out fellow Americans.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a donation to the Red Cross. You inspired me yesterday to make an appointment to donate blood. I'm doing that today at 1:30.
Excellent.
Super easy to do, by the way, folks.
Super easy to do.
Super easy to do. You can make your appointment online. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, there's a bunch of Versity locations all over the place. And I made the appointment yesterday. I'm going in today.
And we're going to get Colleen back from Versity because fall and winter are coming up. And that's, I mean, there's always a blood shortage. There's always a blood shortage. And I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it today. And I'll say it every time we bring it up. I might just bring it up out of the clear blue sky sometime. But if every single person who was eligible to give blood gave once a year, we would never, ever have a shortage again. You can do a lot of good with a giving up a simple hour of your time, and you can do it. We're busy.
And you get treats.
You'll get treats.
You get a snack.
There'll be apple juice or tomato juice or string cheese.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But, I mean,
because you donate regularly.
I donate pretty regularly now. I don't donate whole blood. I donate what's called dual red. That's a longer process. Takes about 3 hours. But because they need that and I can spare the time, I'm going to make an appointment for, I mean, I know I just said do it. I'm going to make an appointment for next week because this week is
crazy,
monumentally busy, but I'm going to get my appointment in. Once a year, people, if we all got together and gave once a year, if you're eligible, no blood shortages.
And again, certainly not everyone can donate, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. Some people are just terrified of needles, and I understand that too. But you can donate like every 6 weeks, can't you?
You can donate every 8 weeks whole blood.
Okay.
Every 16 weeks dual red. And I think every 16 weeks plasma, but don't quote me on that last one.
Well, check with the experts.
You can also, like, they will set up another appointment for you while you're giving. So you can get right there. And we're not doing it for the treats and we're not doing it for the stuff, but they also have cool, like they'll give out t-shirts and water bottles. And, but you, I mean, that's not why we're doing it, but you get to be part of something and it feels good.
Yes.
And you just have the knowledge of, like, you know, I give blood, and that, you know, it might not be a lot to many people, but it's a big deal to those who need it. And right now with something like this, they need it.
Absolutely.
So
Tom, Tom from LA is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I want to make sure, Jane, you got my email as well. I don't know if you got that yesterday or not, but I hope that you did. Second is that just to remind everybody out there that is gay that you can give blood now because of Tammy Baldwin. Thank you, Tammy, of the fact that she put up the bill. So gay men can now give blood, where for the past 30 years we have not been able to give.
Right.
So anybody out there that thinks they can't, you can. Third, I hope tonight, I hope that Tim Walz says, I'd love for him to say that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump like to use the word I a lot. And myself, as a football coach, there is no I in the word team. In the United States is a team.
We're supposed to be, Tom. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And Tom's absolutely right. If you're gay, you can donate blood now. And we are a team. We are America.
Mm-hmm. It is about we.
It is about we.
Yeah.
So if you can make a donation to the Red Cross, great. If you can make a blood donation, great. Find a charity that you vet and you trust.
Yeah.
And let's get some help to our fellow Americans who have been destroyed in many parts of the country. We can come together.
And don't buy into that crap about where they live and why and all that. That doesn't, I mean,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about that right now.
Yeah, because you could find yourself in a similar situation someday. So situations like that someday. And how would you feel if someone said, well,
I don't like the way you vote, so I'm not going to help
you. Oh, you don't get sympathy because of this.
News is coming up next. And when we return, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
Darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand, stand by me. Stand by me.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Back again. Tri-City Services wants to warm the hearts of their neighbors by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need. Nominate your person at calltricity.com before October 18th.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Quick Trip convenience stores will start installing electric vehicle chargers to what the company calls a strategic number of locations throughout the Midwest. Quick Trip isn't saying yet where or how many. The company promises they'll be some of the fastest chargers on the market and can power up as many as 4 vehicles per stand. A state grant program helps people with water contaminated by farm runoff pay for new wells. Tom Van Lowe lives in Marathon County. He says the program helped save him $12,000.
We knew for years that we were drinking contaminated water, so it gave us a lot of peace of mind.
County agents around Wisconsin say they'd like to see the program expanded so more people in need can be eligible. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Kiwanis Coats for Kids Drive has kicked off in Wisconsin Rapids. You can drop off new or gently used items now through November 8th. Their top needs this year include winter boots and snow pants. They also need coats, hats and scarves, and gloves and mittens. You can become a sponsor and make a monetary donation to cover the cost of cleaning used items. There are drop-off sites at the Wood County Sheriff's Department, Key Savings Bank, Lowell Center, Emmanuel Lutheran School, and Members Advantage. Ellis Construction broke ground on the new Weinenbrenner Shoe Company facility in Marshfield this week. The 70,000-square-foot building will focus on employee health and productivity with a modernized production floor. They expect to bring 35 new jobs to the organization, expanding their current workforce of 120 employees. The new facility is expected to open in late 2025. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Music legend Kris Kristofferson passed away over the weekend at the age of 88. Kristofferson is a 3-time Grammy and Golden Globe winner and was a respected actor as well. He was the star of the original A Star Is Born in 1976, playing opposite Barbara Streisand. Kris Kristofferson was also part of an all-star band called The Highwaymen with Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and Waylon Jennings. Kristofferson received a Rhodes Scholarship in Literature, but soon after joined the U.S. Army, where he achieved the rank of captain and flew helicopters. Kris Kristofferson was a prolific activist advocating for farmers' rights, workers' rights, and immigrant rights. He famously supported Sinead O'Connor during a Bob Dylan tribute concert, shortly after she ripped up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live in an effort to call attention to child abuse within the Catholic Church. Kristofferson hugged her on stage and called her courageous. Kristofferson died in Hawaii surrounded by his family, but a cause of death was not given. He was a true American original. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Much cooler and crisp today, with high temperatures only scraping 60 degrees. Alongside breezy winds, we'll see a few more clouds filtering in tonight. And the lows crash cold to the upper 30s. Get a little bump in temperatures tomorrow under abundant sunshine and reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
There's
summer ends in a flash of pure destruction, knowing where.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, we will have all of your coverage tonight of the vice presidential debate starting tonight across the network at 7:45. News director Terry Bell, our very own Pat Kreitlow, and political editor Dan Schaefer will be hosting it. And joining us now from Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, you have got a very long day ahead of you, my friend. How are you?
Yes, I do. What have I agreed to? Yes, happy to be here. Yes, thank you. What time is it?
Yeah, it's 10:35 right now, Pat. And you're going to be with Terry Bell tonight and Dan Schaefer for the VP. And then you got to turn around 3 hours later and get up and host mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. I did want to give you a shout out, though, for Mr. Ross story. National attention, dude. And I didn't mean to scare you when I texted you that.
You really scared me. Like, I get this text from you saying, you're in Raw Story. And I'm immediately thinking, no, everything I did was before camera phones were invented. So I can't imagine it's that. So thank you for the relief.
Well, yes. He said, oh, no, what have I done? And I said, no, mm-hmm. This is a good thing. It's You brought a lot of attention to the questionable actions, shall we say, of Wausau's Mayor Doug Dinney.
Yes, it's something that we'd only learned about, saw on, I want to say, the Wausau Pilot and Review, you know, just a few moments before we went on the air at 6 a.m. And as much as we all like to prepare things in advance, have our notes and things, well, this was more a case of, you know, read up on what you could really quickly. The basics of the case are pretty easy to understand. And then say some things out of my word hole. And I guess the folks at Raw Story liked it and said, yeah, that kind of captures the essence of a mayor who took it upon himself to engage in some alleged criming that maybe he shouldn't have.
Well, and it seems like the reasons for it have continued to evolve, shall we say, as to why the mayor elected to, on a Sunday, move this Dropbox into his office and then locked it up for a week, and then all of a sudden said, well, now it's going to go back. We have a clip from Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney, Calvin, talking to Channel 12 reporter Matt Smith. Let's play that, please.
Why did over the weekend you say, all right, we can move this and the clerk can now take possession of it?
Well, you know, that was kind of a simple decision. At this point, it's either go nuclear and make the stand or try to find the right path. And again, all along it was about bringing it to the council so that the council can weigh in with their residents.
Oh, okay.
When he says bring it to the council, does he mean the actual Dropbox, bringing it into the building and dropping it in front of me? Like,
look,
what do y'all think? What do you think? Are you afraid?
I mean, seriously, he could then do that with anybody. Does he bring in a garbage can and say, I don't believe it belongs in this corner of the office. You should vote on putting it over here. There are things that are your job, and there are things that are not your job. We don't go with the whole Unitarian executive, you know, authoritarian mayor. I've heard of the strong council system of government. I've heard of the strong mayor system of government. I've never heard of the system of government where mayor can put whatever he likes on a dolly and wheel it away. It doesn't work that way. So when he talks about going nuclear, that was just his way of saying, well, do I continue to turn this into a publicity event, or have I called enough attention to my bona fides as, you know, much more of a right-wing mayor than maybe I gave voters the impression back in April?
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
surprise, surprise. Sometimes folks don't necessarily say exactly who they are on the campaign trail.
And when you have to go nuclear, quote unquote, over a Dropbox, what is his reaction going to be to actual problems?
Right. And will he politicize every problem that comes along? Will he politicize this one? What's the line we often hear now? Oh, they're just coming after me, you know, because I'm a conservative or something like that. No, this really is about following the law, which is very clear that the municipal clerk is the top elections official. And, you know, if you want to play through some kind of a process to give some council input, play the process. Don't play games.
Well, this is not up to the Common Council.
No, it's not.
This is not their
purview. If you want to give them a say, put it up on an agenda for discussion, but understand that the city attorney is going to tell you what the city attorney told you before this stunt. This is not something you can control.
So this goes back to the whole thing of let's continue to feed the narrative that there's cheating. Right. That's the way I see it. We had the sheriff who pressured those three municipalities not to have in Dodge County not to have the drop boxes to prevent the perception of fraud, which is ludicrous. It's ludicrous,
right. And will be the one that we reference now until the next one comes along. And it's a sadly easy prediction to make. There will be a next one. Either the Racine County sheriff, who wanted people arrested for allowing people to vote during COVID, you know, will want to get back into the news, or there will be somebody else who steps up and again tries to cast doubts, you know, maybe as late as election day, pulling some kind of a stunt, which is why I really want to see either the Marathon County district attorney or the State Department of Justice say or do something that makes a very emphatic statement that funny business on election day will not be tolerated, not toward voters, not toward local election clerks, not toward casting doubts on the validity of the machinery or the process. If we just let this go, we're opening the door to more mischief on November 5th.
And one of the things, too, that I keep thinking about was something we discussed a couple months ago, which was, I'm using the quotes are doing the heavy lifting here. Poll watchers or election overseers.
Observers, right.
Thinking they can get as close to you as they'd like. And frankly, I think they're going to welcome and invite the chaos because, I mean, it doesn't matter who you vote for. They're going to get too close to somebody and that person can be like, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to do something. And we might see fights in the polls. I mean, on top of the fact that Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay can't early count.
Right.
It's going to be a slog.
Well, and I don't know, unfortunately, I don't know that a lot of people have a whole lot of faith in Josh Call doing anything.
No, they don't, which is a part of why I'm saying it for myself. And if nothing else, to try to buttress all of the local clerks out there to also stand their ground and not allow any funny business there. Again, it's not that we're looking to encourage this by talking about it, but to bring awareness to its possibility. And I guess I should then, to be fair, make clear that it works both ways, that there shouldn't be some overzealous, Harris Wall supporter who tries to make a scene of something as well. There's just no room for any of that, just as there's no room for things like, you know, stealing lawn signs and, you know, making anonymous threats, all the things that can go on. Let's all be better about that. Let's just all be better, you know, citizens, be better voters, and be true to your values of your party by being true to your values first as a decent American.
Really well said, Pat.
Yeah.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He's the host of Up North News Radio. You can catch him from 6 to 8 a.m. every weekday morning. He is pulling the early shift up there in Chippewa Falls. Pat, have you heard from a lot of people in the Wausau area? I'm just curious. I saw one woman in that same Channel 12 piece who said, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for our community.
Well, obviously, a lot of the folks that I talked to were very happy and impressed with, you know, Katie Rosenberg as mayor. And, you know, we're trying to warn people prior to the election that, you know, we see this every so often. Somebody tries to sound like the moderate Republican, the business conservative. And it's not that they're not out there and that they don't exist. But that's an easy thing for anybody to say. And then they get into office and it turns out they're more extreme than they let on. And so there are folks who are certainly disappointed that we're having to learn the hard way that local elections matter. You got to show up in April for these things, because otherwise you're stuck with somebody until the next time around. But you know, on the whole, they don't like that they made it to the national news in this way. There are plenty of conservatives, Republicans, who could have been elected mayor and not pulled this kind of a stunt, but they're stuck with this guy.
You know, and I think that we discussed this a couple weeks ago, this notion of, I'm a businessman, I'm going to run this like a business. No, you're not, because that's not how government works. There's bureaucracies, there's processes in place to make it slow,
right?
Mm-hmm. So you can see what's going on, or else the mayor just comes in, waves a wand, and all the drop by. That's why I think, you know, we saw it with Donald Trump. He didn't run this country like a business. He ran it like his own coffer. And that's why Wisconsin rejected Tim Michaels, that whole notion of wanting to be a businessman in charge. It doesn't work. You have to work with people.
And by the way, that does not mean that somebody can't have a business acumen and serve. The poster child for that, of course, would be Herb Kohl, who everybody knew he was a wealthy businessman. Mm. But he didn't give you this, I'm a businessman, government should be run like a business. Yeah. He said, I'm a successful business person who cares about people, who cares about values. Elect me and that's how I'll govern. And that's exactly how he did it.
We're talking about the nuclear drop box in Wausau that the mayor elected to remove on his own. So the drop box is back, Pat. Now, is this still going before the Common Council? Are there still other steps that are going to happen, or no?
I don't know. It would be we'll have to watch and see if either the mayor or somebody from the council puts it on. And even if so, I mean, the council president has been highly critical of the mayor. And I think my guess is we'll say, well, there's a time and a place for everything. But that time and place isn't right now, because ballots are already being cast. You can already go to that drop box now and use it. So if you want to have a discussion about the next election, which, by the way, is going to lead to a new justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
Well, then good. Let's go ahead and have that discussion. And it's a fair discussion. You know, I got notes from people saying, well, there's a mailbox a block away and there's another box over here. That's all fine. But that wasn't the point. The point is, the mayor can't just wheel a drop box away. So put it on an agenda for sometime after November 5th, saying, here's what we're going to do next February, next April and beyond, and talk about it then. But doing it now just like this looks like the stunt that it is.
Well, and to your point, Pat, the mayor also can't just go and take a post office box and put that in his office either, because he doesn't feel it's secure enough. And there is an interesting opinion piece by Dave Zweifel in the Cap Times about this, and talking to Claire Woodall, who's with the Milwaukee Elections Commission. And a lot of people now prefer to use a drop box than the mail, because Louis DeJoy is still the Postmaster General, and things are taking much longer through the mail. And that's why drop boxes just continue to grow in popularity.
Yeah, that's how I'd always voted, except for the pandemic year after when the state Supreme Court ruled drop boxes ineligible, is I'd send away for an absentee ballot like I have right now, but I'd always return it to my clerk's drop box because I knew it was most secure and I could return it on my time schedule.
Yep.
And that was, I'd return it to her in person when drop boxes were temporarily not allowed. But now I'm going right back to that secure drop box right next to my town hall.
There's video cameras on them. They are secure. They are locked. It's not like anybody just has the key and they're going to go open them up and steal a bunch of ballots. It's all going to be okay, people. We're going to continue our conversation with Pat Kretlow from Up North News Radio. So stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe. I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up right after the 11 o'clock news, we are going to have a segment called They'll Do Anything to Avoid Going to Therapy. And then we're going to close out the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing today from the world of politics. So much to choose from. Mm-hmm. That should not be a thing, but that is coming up at 11:51. Pat Kreitlow is our guest from Up North News Radio. Catch him every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Network. Donald Trump, by the way, stopping today twice in Wisconsin. He's going to be in Waunakee and Milwaukee today. Our news team bringing you all the coverage. We'll have special coverage of the former president in Waunakee today at 1:30 p.m. And then, of course, we'll have the VP debate coverage tonight starting across the network at 7:45. So we did talk a little bit earlier in the hour, Pat, about recovery efforts for in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and what an unbelievable mess it is down there for those folks. And I was pretty irritated yesterday when I started seeing some of the nasty comments coming from both sides of the aisle on, well, I'm not going to help those people because of, you know, they vote Republicans. Well, I'm not going to help those people because if they were better Christians, God wouldn't have allowed this. It's just like, knock it off, people. We're all Americans.
We're all neighbors, and we're supposed to be the ones who are better than this when it comes to helping our neighbors, even when we don't agree on everything. If your neighbor is having a rough time last Sunday, but as you pass by, you see he's got a Vikings jersey on, you don't not stop. Now, you might tease him when all is said and done,
right,
after you've helped this person get on their way, but you don't talk like that. You don't act like that. You don't politicize disaster relief unless you're Donald Trump, who did that in at least three different episodes where he withheld or delayed storm assistance in order to make political points, something that Joe Biden's never done, never would do. But of course, Donald Trump would lie about it because that's what's in his DNA, is to politicize the suffering of others.
For people who may not be aware, I believe it was in 2017, Pat, and Roy Cooper was then and is still now the Democratic mayor of governor, right, of North Carolina.
Yep.
And after a huge hurricane came through, and he asked for a lot of money, and Donald Trump gave him 1% of what he requested for disaster relief.
Yeah. And, you know, said, well, they didn't ask the right way, or, you know, in some way they didn't bow and pledge fealty. And eventually there was more relief given. But he played that same game with another state and, of course, with an entire territory, with Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria went through, and said, well, it's their fault for their financial mismanagement.
That dragged on for months.
Than a storm.
That dragged on for months, that delay of that aid.
Yeah, and then some, you know, between Trump and then Congressman Sean Duffy, who really seemed to have something, you know, in it for Puerto Rico and its suffering. These are the unseemly things that make people normalize this kind of behavior. And so they were more than willing to believe Donald Trump yesterday when he said, Joe Biden's, you know, not taking their phone calls, when Biden and Georgia's governor had already spoken and relief was already on the way. But, you know, Trump knows that if he lies, you know, tells that lie, people will believe it. Not everybody, but some people will believe it because of the way he's normalized this kind of behavior.
Yeah, you can find clips of all of the governors in the regions that have been affected, saying that they have been in touch with the Biden administration. They have reached out. Good heavens, the president made a couple early declarations before Helene had even made landfall, I believe, in preparation for this. And it's also an important reminder for folks. Remember during COVID, and I don't have the clip, but I'm sure we could find it, when states were calling Trump for help during COVID, he essentially said, well, if you're not nice, you know, if the governor's not nice to me, I just won't call him back right away.
Right.
It like he's 12.
Said. Right. And that is exactly how he acted. And he did delay and deny some assistance that went to states. People died as a result of it, because it was just one of many examples of how he botched that, because that's what he does. He can't. He has failed at everything else in life, especially every business venture. Why wouldn't he fail at disaster relief unless he, you know, either gets a little taste of the action or gets, you know, his ego stroked in one way or another? That's the morality of the kind of person that we've had to deal with and hopefully only have to deal with for 35 more days.
Well, and I watched Donald Trump when he had his press conference in Valdosta, Georgia, in front of all of this destruction. And where he lied about Governor Kemp of Georgia not being able to get in touch with President Biden. And Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham was standing right next to him and said nothing as Donald Trump stood there and lied.
Well, yeah, because that's completely on brand for Franklin Graham. I'm not going to say too much about Franklin Graham. He's a reprehensible person whose record speaks for itself. And I was perhaps the least surprised of anybody to see him stand there and allow lies like that to be told while people were in the midst of their suffering.
That's where we need one of those shame, shame, shame bells that they had on Games of Thrones. Games of Dragons, all those things. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Catch him mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. and tonight, with our VP coverage starting at 7:45. Thank you so very much, Pat. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
News is next. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview the vice presidential debate. J.D. Vance taking on Tim Walz right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.